appendages added on. We've had a road diet, so to speak, in Tacoma, on Tacoma Street. It's becoming more and more dangerous because we have two lanes, and we can't control the traffic that comes from the suburbs. There's no way of controlling it. So the traffic increases, becomes more dangerous. And another thing that's become more dangerous with cyclists, I'm not against cycling, but a lot of drivers will swerve around a cyclist. So when we have lots of cyclists, lots of swerving over the medians, it's very dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The next three are Roger Averbeck, Seth Alford, Phil Richmond, and they will be followed by Chris Smith, Craig Beebe, and Aaron Brown. Great, thank
you. Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead, Roger. You're on first.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. As a resident of Southwest Portland, who's been very engaged in the Southwest Corridor.
Just put your name in the record,
Corridor.
Roger. Sorry.
Pardon me?
Just put your name in the records.
Roger Averbeck, resident of Southwest Portland. I've been very engaged in the Southwest Corridor planning process. It began in October 2011 by attending numerous steering committee meetings, public forums, and I also served as a volunteer of the Barber Concept Plan Community Working Group. And I appreciate the opportunity to support the resolution before you today. However, I have several concerns to share with you. We know that change is coming to Barber Boulevard, and as the mayor and commissioners, you each have a great responsibility to shape the transitions by being fair and objective in the assessment of the impacts, both positive and negative, to the community, by being innovative in implementing city policies, by supporting the city staff in their efforts to do so, and to work with all stakeholders and openly engage the public in these efforts. From my perspective, the current conditions on Barber Boulevard are unsafe and unacceptable for people who choose to walk, take transit, and ride bicycles to get to work, to school, and access our local businesses. As you know, Barber is a designated high crash corridor that's well documented. There's been many crashes out there in recent years, and they keep occurring. Speed has been a factor in many of these crashes, as was failure to yield. So it should be obvious to all that the roadway design is one of the major contributing factors. According to ODOT, and if you look in your handout that I gave you, attached to my testimony, is a map from the Barber Concept Plan. The 85th percentile traffic speed on the wooded segment of Barber is 55 miles an hour. This is dangerous and unnecessary and unreasonable to expect bicyclists to share a travel lane with those kind of vehicle speeds. So I just can't excuse the driver behavior and many of the severe crashes that keep occurring out there when the roadway design encourages such behavior. The design speeds need to be reduced, and Barber needs traffic calming through modernization into a multimodal boulevard and a civic corridor, which is part of the vision. So my long-range vision is for a grade-separated multi-use path in the wooded segment out there with new bridges. But in the interim, I support further study of a road diet along that segment with the bridges, and an open and transparent discussion that includes the community as stakeholders is long overdue. I would welcome a public forum attended by the stakeholders that have been mentioned but not identified by ODOT management in the recent news articles. I also think that jurisdictional transfer of Barber Boulevard deserves serious consideration, and many of the projects out there that are in the Southwest Corridor are difficult and expensive, but they need to be considered if high-capacity transit will ever be successfully implemented in the corridor. So I look forward to being involved in the community working group and helping the community prioritize the critical safety needs along Barber, including more safe crossings and filling in the sidewalk and bike gaps and deficiencies. In closing, please be reminded of your responsibility to work with the city's partners, find the funding for the critical safety improvements, and listen to the citizens that have the right to safely use this important roadway through our community, regardless of the mode that they choose on a given day. Doing nothing for many years and hoping for some future transformation that's brought by high-capacity transit is unacceptable. And thank you for your time, and I welcome your questions.
Thank you. Thanks for all the hours you've been putting into these issues. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Seth Alford. I bicycle to work from Raleigh Hills to Southwest Portland most days of the week. When I do bike, the route always includes Barber in some way. Either I come down Barber on Capitol near Wilson High School, or I join Barber near Multnomah Boulevard. I've been complaining about Barber to the BTA, to the City of Portland, to whoever listened for years, and it needs to be fixed now. That's why I came here today to testify about this. Do something about the bridges and other pinch points on Barber now. Don't wait for the Southwest Corridor project to come to fruition, and that because that is going to take decades, and who knows when the funding is going to come through for that, and when it's going to happen. It's got to be fixed now. In response to the earlier comment from the other gentleman who testified that we're freeloaders, bicyclists are freeloaders, excuse me, but I pay property taxes in Washington County, I pay income taxes in the state of Oregon, and my employer, who is in Portland, also pays property taxes by the fact that they lease the building that they're in, and the landlord pays property taxes on it. So I strongly recommend that we can do something about this now. In terms of what you eventually choose for high-capacity transit, go with buses, cheaper, more effective, more flexible. You can run a bus up to OHSU to handle them. You can run a bus out to Sherwood. I regard rail as a hazard for bicyclists and would recommend not doing any more rail in that part of the Portland. That's it. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Thanks. Afternoon. Oops, you're good.
Phil Richmond, and thank you all for being here. I have worked on the Barber Concept Plan Working Group. I serve as president of the PTA board of an elementary school that crosses a swath that is zoned just south of Ross Island Bridge and goes along the areas in the Southwest Corridor that we're discussing. I chair a neighborhood association that's along Barber and have been riding my bicycle, walking, taking transit, driving the corridor for years, and I'm here to voice my support for studying safety improvements, road modernization, road diet along Barber. I think what I've heard from whether you want to call them cyclists, drivers, walkers alike, is that human safety is a major concern, especially in Southwest Portland. We have PBOT to thank for the Barber Demonstration Project, which was recently approved, and also all the great sidewalk improvements that have been going on along 19th Avenue and Spring Garden already that are a huge benefit to the school and the neighborhoods around there. So thank you for that. But I also think, in addition to human safety, it's a social equity thing. And I think in this day and age, we need to be thinking that every person, every college graduate, is going to be able to come out and buy a $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000 car and pay the costs that come along with vehicular ownership. So I think, from a social equity standpoint, it's the public's responsibility to make sure that all of us can move around, you know, in the most cost-effective manners that we see fit. So, you know, whether that's riding or walking or taking transit, not everyone can afford to drive a single-occupancy vehicle. I think also there's a huge economic opportunity for Southwest Portland. You know, overwhelmingly, as I talk to other people around the city, they don't come to Southwest Portland because the only way to get there is to drive. They don't feel safe riding their bike. You know, transit maybe takes too long. And so it's always disappointing to hear other Portlanders' feelings about Southwest Portland. And I think, you know, improving Barber, particularly given that it's the straightest and most level route to and from downtown, creates a huge economic opportunity. And with the connectivity of the new Milwaukee Light Rail Bridge and the Gibbs Street Bridge that's already in place, regardless of what's done on Barber, you're going to have a lot of people wanting to go to Southwest from there. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you all. Thanks for coming.
Next three, Chris Smith, Craig Beebe, Aaron Brown. They will be followed by Michael Harrison, Don Bach, and Peter Welty.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, members of council, I'm Chris Smith. I am a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but I'm testifying as an individual this afternoon. I'd like to speak to, I absolutely endorse you supporting this plan. I'd like to speak to you primarily about Barber Boulevard and would fully endorse the comments of Roger Averbach and associate myself with those. He made many of the points much more eloquently than I could. Personally, I can say that I bicycle the stretch of Barber from the Barber Transit Center into downtown and then my home in Northwest Portland about once every 2 weeks year-round. So I clench my wrists as I grip my handlebar as I go through those two bridges every time. Understand very definitely how people feel about those. And I had the privilege of being the Planning and Sustainability Commission representative to the Barber Concept Plan. So we have what I think is a wonderful vision that will be supported by the transit plan to have a series of nodes along Barber that will support mid-rise development and allow Barber to be a place where people can live, work, shop, and recreate as part of a community, as opposed to being essentially an alternative to I-5. Today, ODOT manages Barber as an overflow valve from I-5, and you know, I see that as being akin to setting your parking requirements for the day after Thanksgiving and having all that capacity unused the rest of the year. We're kind of doing the same thing with Barber's potential as a place. So I believe that ultimately Portland should be pursuing a jurisdictional transfer with ODOT to make Barber a Portland city street that can support our vision of healthy connected city under the Portland plan and create those great places that will be very difficult to achieve if Barber is managed the way it is. I want to join those thanking Commissioner Novick for his commitment to studying the road diet. I guess I would ask you to amp up the level of urgency a little bit. In your online post, you talked about the ODOT bridge construction period as being an opportunity to collect data. I'd like to suggest we should have our plan figured out by then, and the ODOT construction project should be the opportunity to implement whatever striping we've decided is best for the community. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Craig Beebe, and I'm the chair of the City Club of Portland's Bicycle Advocacy Committee, and I'm a resident of Southeast Portland, but I'm a Lewis and Clark alum and spent a lot of time in the Southwest Corridor, so intimately familiar with it. As you'll recall, the club wrote to you recently to urge the city work with ODOT, Metro, and relevant regional partners to study strategies to improve safety for people riding bicycles and walking in the Barber Corridor, and I've brought some copies of that letter along with me. Our request is based on the core findings of the Bicycle Transportation Research Report adopted overwhelmingly by the club's members in June. We recognize that Barber represents a significant strategic opportunity to create a safer, better connected network for people on bicycles and on foot. We also recognize that the current level of safety on Barber is dismal, putting people into direct danger with its lack of sidewalks, discontinuous bike lanes, and high-speed auto traffic. We'd like to thank Commissioner Novick for recognizing the dire need to improve safety on Barber and for publicly committing to directing PBOT to a thorough investigation of possible improvements for bike and pedestrian safety in the near term. It will remain vital to engage other jurisdictions like ODOT and Metro in this process, as well as local stakeholders, including residents, employers, and institutions whose employees and constituents use Barber every day. But let's be clear. Every day that we wait to study and resolve this issue is a day that could end in the loss or severe interruption of more lives, as we have seen too often in recent years. Every day we wait is another delay to achieving the city's adopted goals for active transportation, goals the City Club supports. So we're pleased the city will not wait to study this issue, thanks to Commissioner Novick's direction to PBOT. And we look forward to following the city's progress in this study and to celebrating a safer Barber with you all sometime in the near term, not in a decade. Thank you again for your time, careful consideration, and dedication to creating a safe, connected, inclusive transportation network for all our city's residents. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Greetings, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Aaron Brown. I'm here representing Oregon Walks, the state's walking advocacy organization, of which I am board president. I'm here to express my organization's profound thanks for Commissioner Novick's promise to study congestion impacts of a lane reconfiguration designed to provide space, separation, and safety for all modes of travel on Southwest Barber. Our organization is committed to advocating for straight, safe streets to walk throughout the state of Oregon, and few roads in the city of Portland need safety improvements more than Barber. The city of Portland acknowledged this urgent need by designating Barber as one of its first high crash corridors. And as the preeminent road connecting Southwest Portland neighborhoods to each other and to the city center, it is deplorable that many stretches of Barber, including the Newbury and Vermont bridges, are severely lacking in even the most basic infrastructure for people traveling along or across that corridor on foot. This study that Commissioner Novick has promised is a crucial first step and a welcome sign of confidence that under your watch, the city will provide and prioritize safety for people walking to a previously unprecedented manner. I say unprecedented because the organization I represent today has been working to get safe places to walk on Barber since 1999. Commissioner Fritz, your beloved Oregon Ducks, that was the last time they lost to the Washington Huskies.
You had to mention that, didn't you?
I did.
Trying to jinx us?
Jinx us.
Apologies. In 1999, the Barber Streetscape Plan was funded through a Transportation and Growth Management grant. This project was staffed by a City of Portland employee who founded Oregon Walks. Our 2010 action plan, Getting Around on Foot, expressed frustration that projects for basic walking on busy arterials such as Barber and Southwest Portland were, quote, they're eligible for regional funds, but have languished on the city's, metros, and ODOT's transportation projects for years. We did a study with Sweeney in 2009 that found of 327 respondents, 86% favored adding more sidewalks, 82% wanted better crosswalks, and 76% wanted better improved access to bus stops. We've been working, we've had people represented on the networks peg, on the equity peg for the updates for the comprehensive plan. And in short, we have a long, extensive history of petitioning the city to make this vital Southwest Portland Main Street one that is more safe for those who need it most. Your promised study will empower us to make the right decision to build a better Barber to prevent further injuries and fatalities. Commissioner Mayor Hales, you earlier mentioned when we were talking about the Southwest Corridor the importance of a thoughtful, deliberative, collaborative, inclusive process for the Southwest Corridor process, and Oregon Walks looks forward to working with you on a similar process to make Barber better for all road users. Thank you.
Thank you.
Craig, questions? I have one question for you.
Absolutely.
And thanks again for the thoughtful way you do your follow-up as a City Club of Portland chair. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. This is your umpteenth visit where you've come about things relating to reports that you've issued or things that you've testified on. We appreciate the follow-up.
Absolutely.
And the matter before us today is whether we support the resolution that's in front of us.
Right.
And I take it your testimony is in keeping with what we've heard from several people, which is put an additional sense of urgency into some of the planning around the bike piece. And based on what the commissioner in charge has said and the vibe you're getting from council, I mean, are you recommending, do you have enough confidence that we should just go ahead and adopt this resolution?
You know, to the extent that our committee, the charge that we have and the report that the club's members adopted, doesn't mention the Southwest Corridor per se. I mean, our main goal was to use this as an opportunity to raise the issue of safety on Barber Boulevard. So as an individual, I feel great about the Southwest Corridor plan, but the city club does not have a particular position on the Southwest Corridor recommendations overall. We're satisfied that Commissioner Novick's direction meets the request that we had made about raising the issue of studying safer bicycling and walking on Barber Boulevard.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Other questions for this panel? Thank you all. Appreciate it.
And the last three are Michael Harrison, Don Bach, Peter Welty.
Michael, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Harrison, and I'm here today representing Oregon Health and Science University. OHSU is very excited about the possibility of high-capacity transit in Southwest Portland. OHSU invests heavily in programs that encourage alternative transportation, from subsidies for bicycling to work and using TriMet to free streetcar service and carpool incentives. Our employees live throughout the city, and many of those who live on Portland's east, north, and west side have access to world-class transit. Access that will increase in 2015 with the opening of TriMet's newest light rail line. As a result of this access and our incentives, well over half our employees choose means other than driving alone to get to work. But our incentives are limited by available infrastructure, and increasing the quality of transit service in Southwest Portland will make our job that much easier. And that is what the Southwest Corridor Project's all about, and we urge your adoption of the resolution before you. Long-term visions aside, OHSU has also been working with our neighbors, the Homestead Neighborhood Association, South Portland Neighborhood Association, also Friends of Terwilliger and Southwest Trails and Sweeney, on two ideas for near-term active transportation projects. Modest trail improvements connecting existing Barbara Boulevard transit with Terwilliger, and a lighted crosswalk at the NATO Parkway and Whitaker intersection. These projects would connect Markham Hill to the Willamette River and all points in between, and leverage the city's investment in the Gibbs Street pedestrian bridge. We're very excited about that these near-term improvements are also addressed in the resolution before you, at least the concept of having near-term improvements are addressed in the resolution before you. And we've had very productive conversations about different ideas with city staff. We thank you for your time. Thanks.
I'm welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, commissioners, I'm Don Bach. I live in Hillsdale. I'm chair of Southwest Trails, and I'm speaking for them today. I want to speak privately first about the road diet. I'm a very ambivalent about the road diet. As someone who really is interested in seeing improved bicycle capacity and safety, I think it's really important that we address this. But the road diet, I'm not sure, is the answer to this, because we've got a lot of communities that may be very directly affected by overflow traffic. And I think what my understanding from Commissioner Novick of having doing the study and then implementing on a test basis during the construction on those two bridges, I think is extremely important, because if we have a lot of diverted traffic, we then can recorrect and say, no, that isn't going to work. Look at a reversible lane or look at new bridges. And that, to me, is extremely important, because what happened in Hillsdale when OHSU issued free parking passes, all of a sudden all of our streets were clouded with cars because we had the express bus to OHSU. You know, and that changed a lot of people's lives, where they parked, what they did. We did it. It was totally unexpected. And we don't want to have that happen all over Southwest in the same way. So I really commend Commissioner Novick for moving ahead this way. I think I'd do the same thing. I just want to make sure that we get a lot of good feedback and do really good measurement of all these routes, that potentially diversion routes, so people understand what is now and what's happening, because everyone goes out and takes their four-minute assessment of the street, saying it's more, it's less, whatever. We need a really good data on what's happening there. So I really appreciate that. I want to segue from that to one of the projects that I think would be really important, and it also ties in with the changes on the bridges, and that is the Red Electric Trail, which is one of the projects I think is extremely important. Metro modeling of this shows huge amounts of pent-up bicycle demand going from particularly the south, OHSU facilities down on the river, coming across a new pedestrian bridge, Corbett, and getting up to Hillsdale, where we don't have to have on be on the roads, you know, be a safe pedestrian and bicycle facility. We could do this with very, very minimal investment by getting the right staffs to work together to get the right-of-way figured out with the state and the city, and then getting simply a route. Parks, I think, has got the right-of-way now. We could develop a pedestrian route through this area and build it now. Southwest Trails will build it, believe me. We'll get it done in a few days. Once we get the permits and all these other things done, it'll take probably a year to get all this other stuff done. But the investment to do that would be very minimal. And then once we see the potential that we can get funding for going on and making it a bicycle way, and it's a very clear way to make this work. And I'm not trying to take away from Barbara, it's just a supplement to it. The second one, and I want to follow on with the Whitaker Trail that we've talked about here. What we need there, the Whitaker Trail needs some drainage put in. The adjacent property owner, who's going to have responsibility to parks because he's using parks land, needs to put in the drainage, but it needs to be world-class drainage, not a little sump that's going to plug up. Then we need a little bit of concrete, a little bit of stairs, some handrail, and lighting. We got $200,000 would solve the problem. And we've got, I think, hundreds of people a day already using it. And once we get the NATO crossing, it's the 4T route, so the people that can't use the tram on Sundays will use this for 4T. And anyone at OHSU who wants to get to the hospital from the bottom for exercise will walk up the trail. And so it's a really important connection, And you know, it's been in a derelict condition for a long time. Trails worked on a certain part that we felt we could do, but we didn't want to take on the concrete stairs. And it's adjacent property owners' parks, and they ought to be addressing that. So I just really urge these two little projects, which we could fund for very minimal dollars somewhere in the next year, let's get on with them. And you've got our full support to make this happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work. Good afternoon. Either microphone or both will do. There you go.
Does this work? All right. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, my name is Peter Welty. While a student at Portland State, I raced throughout the Northwest on the PSU cycling team. One of the most memorable times was a road race out in the middle of nowhere in Montana. We started out with a pack of 40 riders, stayed together during the first 30-mile loop. Near the start of the second loop, a strong rider from the University of Idaho attacked halfway up one of the longest climbs. The remainder of the peloton assumed we'd catch him on the descent, but upon reaching the top, he was halfway to the horizon. From there, it was an all-out sprint to catch the leader. 10 miles later, still going full speed, we had yet to catch up. We rounded a bend in the road, and a new trouble caught our attention. Less than 30 seconds ahead was a large herd of cattle, slowly meandering along right in our path. Chaos ensued. The leaders were split. Do we hold back or ride through? Momentum and the most aggressive riders won the argument, and in moments, we had confused cattle raising a ruckus, shooting left and right, while stressed riders raced through the stampede. That was terrifying, but I have to admit, it was a little bit of fun. But I didn't come here to talk about cattle and collegiate racing. I share this story so you can fully appreciate what I mean when I say that to ride across the Barber Viaducts, to look back on a dark and rainy night and see a stampede of steel chasing you down, swinging left at the last minute, swiping past with only feet to spare, can be equally terrifying and not fun at all. I greatly appreciate any action that you can take to quickly improve safety and comfort for all users on Barber Boulevard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question for Michael. Michael, so it was characterized earlier by the Homestead Neighborhood Association that OHSU was neutral on high-capacity transit options. Is that correct?
Not to put words in Anton's mouth, I think he was saying neutral on the on a decision on alignment, whether it would be a tunnel under Markham Hill or whether it would be on Barber or whether it would be on NATO. OHSU hasn't taken a position on a preferred alignment at this point, not because we're not interested in the project. We're very interested in the project. But because we're waiting for additional information. So we would, we're supportive, certainly, of a full study of alignment options, including a tunnel option, so that the sort of the best decision could be made. We certainly want a direct connection to OHSU, but at this point haven't sort of decided whether that would have to be Markham Hill or whether that could be South Waterfront with the connection that we have by the tram. I think that's what Anton was suggesting.
Okay. And do you agree with Anton's concern about the language in the resolution, sort of putting all of our eggs in the tunnel option for OHSU? And if it's no tunnel, there's no. I mean, you could read the language different ways, but I think his point is that it seems to be putting all the eggs in the tunnel basket. Probably needs to be reworded.
Right. What? I think it's fair to say that no matter how the project is designed and developed, it's a challenge to serve OHSU. If you're starting with the prospect of that you're either going to be, that you were going to be on Barber, you either have to find a way to get up the hill, which is a challenge, or find a way to get down to South Waterfront, which can be a challenge. I think the challenge can be surmounted. It's up to coming up with the best idea to make it happen. My read of the resolution this morning, I felt it was pretty clear that that the council would be directing sort of the region to include a robust study of the potential for a light rail alignment. I don't think we have any concerns about the language that was discussed between Anton and yourselves, maybe making it a bit broader in mode and a bit broader in alignment. We'd love to see the best idea prevail. We're two very big rings on the map that were shown at the beginning, with about 12,000 folks that are up on the hill, and our students in 2014 are going to be starting their morning down in the new Schnitzer campus. So we have a lot of connection needs, and look forward to seeing what kind of the best minds come up with.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for this panel? Thank you all very much. All right. Unless there's anyone else that's planning to testify, we're ready to consider the resolution. See Commissioner Fritz.
Mayor, I think it would be worth having a bit of council discussion before we go to a vote, and Commissioner Fritz and I were discussing a modest amendment.
Okay.
And that is in relation, thank you, Commissioner Novick, to the concern brought up by Homestead. I keep saying Hillsdale because that's in here as well. But Homestead and OHSU, to refine the language at the bottom of page 2, the last bullet. And I wondered if you had a proposed language or...
Yes, what I was going to propose is simply say the council directs staff to evaluate the land use impacts and transportation needs associated with the various options for high-capacity transit on the areas of Markham Hill and Hillsdale Town Center. And I think that, to some extent at least, addresses Homestead's concern, which is they want to have an evaluation of the land use impacts and transportation needs on associated with any of the options that we might wind up pursuing on those areas. So if we, regard whether it's a tunnel option or whether it's a barber, just at a barber-only light rail or barber-only bus rapid transit.
So I'm going to move that amendment and also suggest that we add, in addition to Markham Hill and Hillsdale Town Center and PCC Sylvania, because there's a similar concern at mm-hmm. the other at that mm-hmm. point to connect to PCC Sylvania and a similar angst, although the folks weren't able to be here today, regarding road options versus tunnel options there.
So Markham Hill, comma, Hillsdale Town Center, and PCC Sylvania?
Yes. So the proposed amendment is to add, to delete the tunnel option and insert various options for high-capacity transit and on the areas of Markham Hill, Hillsdale Town Center, and PCC Sylvania.
And that's a motion and a second, I believe.
So moved.
Any further discussion of this amendment? Staff seems to indicate that we're not derailing the process, to use a bad pun. Nowhere near as good a pun as we heard earlier. Further counsel.
Which, by the way, I have to give all credit to my chief of staff, who is not my own language.
That was a doozy. Yeah. So a roll call on the amendment first.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I'm actually scared to hear that your entire staff is coming up with puns. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And on the resolution itself.
Actually,
I'm sorry?
We still have a... I think it would be nice to have a bit further discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At least at the request of Commissioner Fish.
I just
wanted to make sure that that we were all clear as to the commitments that were made to some of the things that came before us that are not in the resolution. So just specifically, can I just get a further clarification of Commissioner Novick, your intentions around the road diet and the further study and perhaps a timeline and how you intend to incorporate that with this higher level barber study? Well, I did want to, I've made it clear over the past few days that I wanted to separate discussion of the study of the road diet from what we're doing today, because what we're doing today is affirming our agreement with the rest of the region on the Southwest Corridor Plan. And what I explained to people who are advocating for a study of the road diet is that that's something that I'm committed to doing in the coming months, regardless of whether there were any such thing as a Southwest Corridor Plan. And I think that the fact that ODOT is going to be doing some work on the Vermont and Newbury bridges, which is going to, I think, have an effect of diverting traffic from Arbor, will give us some helpful data in terms of studying what the effects of a road diet would be. So that's the commitment that I've made, that you know, outside the Southwest Corridor process, I would like to do a study of a Barber Road diet. I would also like to note that, of course, I mean, there's a lot of people that feel very passionately that, of course, we should do a road diet. I also got an email from the Portland Freight Committee this morning saying that, of course, we should not do a road diet. And I've talked to at least one elected official who represents a southerly part of the region over the weekend who said, well, I thought that we agreed we were going to do a road diet. So I'm committed to doing a study, but everybody should understand that just as there are people passionately in favor of implementing a road diet, there are also people who have concerns about it.
I've been getting emails, Steve, from people saying we should use ratepayer dollars to fund the road diet. Thank you for clarifying that on the record, because I see no need to modify the resolution based on the clear expressions of intent by the commissioner in charge. So thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, Further discussion, and then let's take a vote.
Novick.
Well, I first want to say that one of the great things being transportation commissioner is having a chance to join all of these regional committees and see how well our region works together on these transportation issues. And I'll be delighted if we become the eighth jurisdiction to express our support for the Southwest Corridor plan. Thank you, Mayor Hales, for putting me in this position where I get a chance to talk to people from Washington County and everywhere else in the region. I also wanted to follow up on Commissioner Fish's comment about equity. I mean, we are committed in the Southwest Corridor, as in the rest of the city of Portland, to becoming a region, to even more a region where we have access to transit, we have opportunities for active transportation, and one of the effects of that is people should have a chance to save money. They should be healthier and save money on health care. They get to spend less money on cars. But we have to be careful that we don't wind up with communities where the prices of homes are so high in those areas that have the best access to transit and active transportation that only rich people get a chance to take advantage of the opportunities to save money. So I share your concern about the fact that we don't have the tool of mandatory inclusionary zoning, and look forward to working with, as you said, Councillor Stacey and Sam Chase and others on how we make sure that the Southwest Corridor plan doesn't become a gentrification plan. I also wanted to express my agreement with everybody who said that although we're talking here about a long-term plan involving high-capacity transit options that we know won't be implemented for years, we are also very committed to near-term transportation improvements. I think TriMet is committed to improving transit in the Southwest region. Before we have high-capacity transit, we're committed to looking at short-term safety and access options. So, I mean, the fact that we're talking about a long-term plan doesn't mean that we're not doing what we can to improve the transportation environment in Southwest. Finally, on a personal note, I have to say that I, as a Southwest resident, constantly need to be reminded that there are transportation problems in Southwest, because I live a four-block walk from Multnomah Village Town Center, and there's one bus that runs a block from my house, and there's another bus that's five blocks away. So to me, I mean, transportation in Southwest is just all perfectly fine. I don't know why anybody has any problems with it. So I appreciate frequent reminders that other people aren't quite as lucky. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Novick and I are going to have some more conversations at the Burlingame Fred Meyer. I live in deep Southwest Portland, in PCC, near PCC, Sylvania. First, thanks to Councillor Stacey, not only for your leadership on this project, but for staying till the end of the hearing, as well as giving your remarks at the beginning, and for acknowledging my participation. I was very glad when Mayor Hales first got into office to be able to dive into this project for a couple of months, because I've lived in deep Southwest Portland for the last 27 years, and want to acknowledge Marianne Fitzgerald's service to our community over three decades. Marianne was doing this long before I started, but she and I both had children at Markham Elementary School, which is the only Title I low-income school on the west side, and has the one sidewalk in our neighborhood, thanks to Marianne and others. When we were doing the Southwest Community Plan in 1995, we asked the children at Markham Elementary what kinds of improvements they would like. And one of my questions as a fairly new land use chair at the Neighborhood Association was to ask people, where would you like sidewalks? And the overwhelming response from the Markham Elementary kids was, wherever there are not any. So I was reminded of that after I had gone to a couple of the meetings of the Southwest Corridor study, and went back to my now 23-year-old daughter. She was 5 years old, obviously in kindergarten when we were doing that study. Went back and said, "Oh, we're going to have rapid bus or light rail on Barber. Isn't that great?" And she looked at me and she said, "Mom, I just want sidewalks." Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time, and we just want sidewalks. Many of us just want sidewalks. I'd like to be able to walk from that Burlingame Fred Meyer to the brand new Safeways without getting run over. It's that simple for me. So I appreciate that there's some things that we can do before we get to the high-capacity transit, and we must do, because thanks again to TriMet for staying till the end of the hearing and listening to, yes, I appreciate the 94 bus, and realize now that I'm coming downtown at rush hour and going home at rush hour, if I'm lucky, that there is really great bus service. If I'm trying to get from one part of Southwest to another part of Southwest on Sunday, I have no service in some places. And similarly, if I want to go at other than rush hour, it's not that great. So there's many components of some really basic services in addition to this thinking of what if and what kinds of improvements do we want to seek over the next 20, 25 years. There's a number of things that we can do right now, and we should do them right now. Very much appreciate Commissioner Novick's leadership on this project and indeed of transportation in general. After I had received 247 emails on the Barber Road Diet, I went next door to my colleague and told him that I would be deferring to him on the road diet because I can't read anymore, especially when they're all very, very, very similar, if not identical. I've now received 667 emails on the road diet, and then I think it's two more messages on this subject, one from Homestead and one from Sweeney. If I've missed anybody else's, I'm sorry, but it's really hard to sort through when you have 667 or 669 all on the same topic. When it's great that people are lobbying their elected officials, but I do ask you to consider, I get maybe 50 emails a day on various things that sometimes people want very urgent help on a particular project in development services or something of that nature. If I have to wade through 50 to 100 emails a day on all on the same topic, it becomes very difficult for me to attend to other constituents' concerns. It's actually now impossible for me to respond to all of the 667 emails on the road diet. So I'm going to publicly state that I defer to the commissioner in charge on that topic, and I appreciate all the input. And in the future, the petitions that come with one email, I get the picture, and that's much more manageable for me than to be able to respond to the petition sender that I have heard and what my response is, rather than trying to respond to all that many folks, especially when we're doing other controversial topics at the same time as we have been over the last week or two. So in response to that, I'm glad that Anton Wedelein brought Homestead's concerns to our attention. I'm glad that Commissioner Novick accepted the friendly amendment, and that I think that does make it stronger. We have in the past had folks from Haines Street being very concerned about the connections to PCC Sylvania. I see Councillor Stacey nodding. I know that issue is very much on the radar of transportation and Metro staff as well. So contrary to popular opinion, both public officials and public employees do listen to citizen input, do care about trying to get to consensus and responding to one person or 667. So thank you to the Portland community, to the greater metro community for engaging on this corridor study, because it does affect all of us, and it affects our grandparents now and our grandchildren in the future. I'm very proud to be a part of it. Aye.
Fish.
Just say that I associate myself with Amanda's remarks and stop there, and I'd be ahead of the game.
Okay.
but since I have a one-hour set of remarks, I'd hate to not deliver them. Two things that Amanda said I just wanted to comment on. One is that if it's gotten to the point that Commissioner Fritz is raising a caution flag about emails, think about how we feel, because we have another problem, which is the email you send her on Friday that she responds to Sunday night generates another email to us saying, why are the rest of us so unresponsive? So that's number one. Number two, to the comment you just made about us being responsive to concerns, as the new Water Bureau Commissioner, I inherited a binding contract to sell the property that has the Freeman tank in Southwest Portland, the water tank. And in some of the letters that I've received, people have said, well, why wasn't there a broader community notification of the intent to sell? While I am bound to enforce a contract that was executed last year, I looked into this issue, and I agree. I think that we should do broader community consultation and notification, and that should be affected neighborhoods. We should put a sign on the property. It doesn't necessarily mean that folks in the community can be able to, you know, pool their resources and buy the property, but they're going to feel less aggrieved if they understand what we're doing in a timely manner. And I thought that was a great suggestion. So in the Water Bureau, henceforth, we'll do broader community notification of any of the sales of surplus property. And that comes out of a sharp criticism that I've received about how this was handled. I can't resist with a friend here to say that when people visit me from out of town, the two things that have become staples are Powell's and the 4T. And my 9-year-old keeps busting my chops a little bit about how it's for tea, and I have to explain that we cheat a little bit on the language to get the T's, but that it's for tea. So congratulations. Steve, thank you for your great work on this, and to you and your team, and the skillful way that you brought this home. I am one of two members of council that does not live in Southwest. Charlie and I, unfortunately, live on the other side of the river. We're hoping someday to get into Southwest so we can join the three of you. But I have a nine-year-old son who keeps making this noise about wanting to join his friends who play soccer at Bridal Mile. And so transportation, whether you live in, as I do, in Northeast or we live in Southwest, this matters, that we get the transportation issues right. This has been, as usual, an extremely thoughtful hearing, and I want to thank everybody for their testimony, particularly their written testimony. And since Steve had, I think, the best pun of the year, one that will be hard to beat, I just want to say that to Mary Ann Fitzgerald, every time you appear before us, you get best in class in testimony. And I appreciate the way it's written so that even people like me can understand it, and it's laid out, and the copies that you send and the other materials. And congratulations, and I know that this is on top of everything else you do, but it's a model, and we appreciate it. So, based on everything I've heard and the thoughtful testimony, I'm comfortable voting aye, and again, thanks to Steve and his team. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, I feel I need to speak up. I think I'm the reigning veteran resident of Southwest on the council. And I live about a half block off of Barber. But I've really seen, I really appreciate all the energy and talent and skill that's gone on to this Southwest Corridor plan. You know, I for a long time have thought, and TriMet has, I think, finally agreed that this Southwest Corridor, Barber, needs to be the next high-capacity transit corridor. And I think that there's a lot of creative ideas out there. I like the tunnel. I like tunnels, period. So whether it's Hillsdale, OHSU, or PCC Sylvania, I find those ideas all very intriguing. Just like at one time, doing a tunnel through the hills of the west side was kind of looked at as a strange idea, but I think it really turned out for the best. And I would like to say that I live in Hillsdale, and I've seen a lot of changes over the years for the better in terms of in Southwest in general. I mean, we still have a long ways to go in terms of being totally pedestrian-friendly, bicycle-friendly. But there's been a lot of changes, and I feel Hillsdale itself is a very livable, walkable community, and also nobody outside of Southwest knows where Hillsdale is. Every time I tell them I live in Hillsdale, they kind of give me that blank stare. But it's really, there's been a lot of improvements. Multnomah Village, another example. But we still have a long ways to go, as Commissioner Fritz notes in her own neighborhood, too. There are some sorely lacking balanced infrastructure. So I think this corridor plan is off to a good start. Appreciate Commissioner Novick's thoughtful and capable leadership, as well as Councillor Stacey's and everybody else who's working on this. Aye.
Commissioner, I do have to note that Mayor Hales was actually involved in the Southwest Corridor Plan like 6 weeks ago or something. So I can't take a lot of credit.
Mayor Hales, too.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
Hales.
So let me start first with some thanks and then with some very general comments or reflections and then some specifics. Thanks to you, Amanda, not just in those few months that you served in this capacity on this committee, but in all the years back to when you were a neighborhood activist working for the betterment of Southwest and all of our neighborhoods. This was a classic case where a neighborhood activist made a difference and then went on to make more of a difference. Commissioner Novick, obviously you have plunged into the issues of regional and local transportation in the city, and this is great work, and thank you. And I'm glad you're willing to enjoy serving on all those committees, because it definitely goes with the assignment. And thanks to all these neighborhood activists who put in months and years of time on this work, Mary Ann and all your colleagues here, it really matters. And I hope you feel that it's making a difference. I do believe that myself and see the progress that we're making. So let me start with some general comments. Commissioner Fish earlier referred to this Oregon Values and Beliefs study that was released last Friday. Adam Davis made a presentation to the City Club. The City Council is actually going to get a presentation on the Portland-specific data that came out of that study at the beginning of our budget process to help ground us in what our constituents value and believe. And that will be helpful to us. But you can already see in the statewide results of that survey some important underpinnings to this work. One is that statewide, people believe that climate change is serious and that we need to change our lives and how we transport ourselves and everything we use differently because of climate change. I'm talking statewide in Oregon. People believe this by a very large majority.
72% of Oregonians are willing to make a significant change in their lifestyle to address climate change.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. And maybe not what one would have expected at least a few years ago. Secondly, by a similar large majority, people say spend more on transit and on intercity rail and less on highways. Get on with it. And again, that's not just a Portland thing. In fact, we haven't seen the Portland numbers. We've just seen the statewide numbers. So we're not on a tangent here with respect to what our constituents want and believe. In fact, we're very congruent with that. Then to the more specific, I was very glad about Anton Wetterlein's point and the council's response to it on a couple levels. One, I think this language is much better and makes sure that we're not just looking at evaluating the pluses and minuses of a tunnel and moving on. But because there are two seemingly conflicting practices that we need to get right in this work. One is deliberation. We need to be thoughtful and methodical and inclusive, like I said earlier. And then we also need to be innovative. We need to come up with something new and different. And that's happened here before. We have an aerial tram, the only one in the country, that connects OHSU to the South Waterfront, solved a major placemaking and transportation problem in a very innovative and ultimately very cost-effective way. We have the first modern streetcar in the United States. We have a new bridge under construction across the river that's going to be all modes but automobiles. So we've been innovative before here. And this corridor has some challenges that cry out for that innovation. OHSU is vertically and horizontally not in a convenient location with respect to this corridor. PCC, another major academic institution, another major destination on this corridor, not quite on the corridor. And then the other jurisdictions, there were challenges and they remain in the rest of this planning process about how do we serve downtown Tigard? What about Sherwood? How do we get to Tualatin? So although this corridor makes a lot of sense as the next major transit initiative in the region, it's a tough one from a planning and engineering standpoint. So I want to challenge all of us to be innovative as well as, you know, continuing a careful planning process here and be willing to be bold. Having just walked, Commissioner Fritz, the New York City High Line with my daughter and my wife on Sunday, seeing that bold and innovative investment in New York, one more inspiration for why we should not be afraid of the bold move, whatever it may be, like we weren't when we built the tram or when we built the streetcar, or with that wonderful, beautiful new bridge, a concept that a bridge can be beautiful, under construction out there in the river. So I'm going to throw that challenge out to us all. The second reason I was happy that we had that discussion is that although we are one big happy family here and we work well together as a region, we as the five leaders of the city of Portland have a particular responsibility to our neighborhoods to make sure this project serves our neighborhoods. And every now and then, there is a tension between that regional process and the interests of our neighborhoods. There was on the alignment for the yellow line, whether it would be in the freeway ditch or it would be on Interstate Avenue serving our neighborhoods. And frankly, it's our responsibility as the Portland City Council to remain vigilant that this project ultimately serve our local interests as well as serving the regional interests. I'm not worried about that. I know we'll get there, but that's a particular focal point that we have to keep clear for us as we do this work as part of this regional team. Finally, thanks, Councillor Stacy, to you and other leaders in the region that have worked on this and to the staffs of our bureaus and other agencies who've made us a model to the country, a great place to live. This is going to be one more piece of that Portland story. Very proud to vote aye. Thank you all, and we're adjourned.